My assistant wasn't here this morning, so I had to get it set up in the back quick. Mertz's are over in Pandora this morning, so Lucas wasn't back there to take care of it for me. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Well, this morning I'm going to talk about something that we've talked about in the past before. Just more of an encouragement, upliftment, more than anything else. And maybe help us to view ourselves, maybe view others, maybe a little bit differently. So sometimes when we first become a Christian, we have these preconceived thoughts, these preconceived notions of what we are going to do within the body. Preconceived things that we think this is how we can help the body. And then there's going to be other things that happen through the process that completely flip that on its head. When I first became a Christian back in 2007, it's 2007, wow, almost 10 years ago, I never thought I'd be up here preaching. I never thought I'd be up here teaching. Never. Those thoughts never entered my mind. And I had the preconceived thoughts of, oh, this is how I can help. This is what I can do. And one of the first things that happened is Davey said, ooh, I got somebody to take over sound for me. And he didn't have to do it anymore. I took it over, started doing that stuff, figured, hey, I'm a technical guy. I can be in the back, out of sight, out of mind. Nobody will be looking at me, no attention on me. And things didn't quite work out that way. But what we originally think may happen is not what God necessarily has planned. I mean, when I was in high school, I mean, everybody that goes through the school system, whether it's public school, Christian school, whatever, you got to do speeches. You got to get up in front of people. You got to talk in front of people. And I absolutely hated that. When I was in high school, I'd get nervous, I'd get the shakes. When I was still in college, I'd get nervous, I'd get the shakes about getting up in front of people and just stomach turning and despised it. I was so shy when I was in high school and right out of college that I think it was a couple months after I graduated college, I had an interview over at Sam's Club here in Lima. Got a job and had my three-month review, and they told me in the three-month review that they didn't know if I would make it there because I was so shy. And they had this rule, a 10-foot rule. If anybody passed you within 10 feet, arm's length, a customer, you had to ask them if they were finding everything they needed. And they didn't think I'd be able to do that. And I know Jeremy had mentioned that when we did studies. I'd sit there, I'd never say anything. I'd just sit there and listen. Because I've never liked being the center of attention. I've never liked that on me, and I never thought that I would be up here doing this. But God had other plans, apparently, than what I thought. And that's what I'm going to kind of get into this morning, is our place in the body. What is our place in the body? Everybody has a different place in the body. And maybe it worked out for me where I never thought I would get up here and do this, and now I'm up here doing this. Maybe it worked out, maybe it didn't. Depends how everybody thinks that I teach and preach. But everybody has a different place in the body. And not everybody's place is the same. Let's flip over to Romans chapter 3. Not going to be as much flipping this morning as there normally is when I get up here, so your fingers will get a rest. Romans chapter 3, or chapter 12, I'm sorry. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. Romans 12, 3 through 8 says, "For though the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of it. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. We are all members of the body of Christ. Each and every one of us who has been baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, every one of us who has followed the plan of salvation outlined in the Scriptures, we are a part of the body of Christ. And is one part of the body more important than the other? No. There is no part of the body that is more important than the other part of the body. Every part of the body depends on every other part of the body. You look at these big, great big football players who are in peak physical condition. And what is one, you football guys, you may know this, what is one injury that can keep a player out for an extended period of time that is so small it's almost incomprehensible that it can take a player down? Turf toe. Anybody here not heard of turf toe? Probably whoever doesn't follow football or like that, but turf toe. You can get a wide receiver, a quarterback, a football player on a football team who's 6'3", 250 pounds, peak physical condition, and their little itty-bitty toe can keep them out for 2 months. A month, 2 months, however long it takes to heal. Because of a toe. But because they have turf toe, they're not able to run at full speed. They're not able to cut on their routes. They're not able to throw the football down the field. They're not able to do certain things. If a quarterback hurts his thumb by smacking on somebody's helmet, that can keep him out. Every part of the body, no matter how small it is important. And it's needed. Every single part of the body. Now, we are not all created the same way. Everybody here is different. Some people have more differences than others. Some people are nerds that like comic book movies, like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. Some people just like the action movies. Some people like Hallmark, like Bob. Everybody's different. Everybody has different interests. Everybody has different things that they're strong at. Not everybody's going to get up here and teach. When I first became a Christian, I had this preconceived notion that maybe there was a natural progression that okay, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to learn a little bit. And then maybe I'll get up and do a communion meditation. But through Jeremy pushing me as hard as he could from behind to get me out of my comfort zone, I started teaching, and then eventually I started preaching. But not everybody is meant to do that, and that's okay. Not everybody is meant to be up here. Not everybody is meant to give everybody hugs like Virginia does. Virginia sees everybody, she gives everybody a hug. I've never been necessarily a huggy type of person, but guess what? Every part of the body is needed. Some people are more apt to talk to people one-on-one. I think of somebody like Darren, who you can sit down and you can have a genuine conversation with about anything. And you can tell he's actually listening. You talk to some people and you can tell they're like this, or they're watching kids like I usually am. But Darren, you sit down, you can have a good conversation with him. Genuine. Straight to the point. You can tell he's listening, giving your attention. Everybody in this body is needed for a specific reason. Not everybody can sit down and have those conversations. Some people are more reserved. Some people are more, I'm going to work behind the scenes and help. Some people are more of an outgoing personality that want to be up front. They want to teach. They want to preach. They want to be leading songs. I'm not somebody that ever wants to lead songs. I've been pushed into it a couple times. once or twice up here and once down in Lancaster. That's okay. Some people are good at singing. Some people are good at leading songs. Some people enjoy doing that. That's good. That's great. That's an encouragement. It's great having the kids up here to play songs on the piano. Not everybody can carry a tune. Not everybody is going to do every job within the body. There's a reason when you're on a football field, you throw the football and you don't kick it. There's a reason on a basketball court that you use your hands to shoot the basket. There's a reason on soccer you use your feet and not your hands. Every part of the body is needed for a different reason. But just because somebody's up here teaching doesn't mean they're better than anybody else. Just because somebody wrote a book doesn't mean they're better than anybody else. Just because somebody is the encouragement and the upliftment and able to speak to everybody and give them hugs doesn't mean they're not as good as anybody else. We are all joint heirs with Christ. We all receive the same promise. We all receive the same Holy Spirit. We all receive the same eternal glory. There is no difference between anybody within the body and levels of hierarchy. We're all on the same level. We're all in this together. And we're all needed to push the kingdom forward. Every single one of us. Every part of us. There's a reason that we were all born at this point in time and ended up in Lima, Ohio. There's a reason that my ancestors moved here back in the 1800s. There's a reason Dale was out on the Pacific Northwest and then to Pennsylvania and then Lancaster and then up here. There's a reason that Reuben came here. There's a reason that we all came here. God needs us here for a purpose. It's up to us to figure out that purpose, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, I'm going to get into an example that I don't really like using. Another sports example, so bear with me, you who are not sports people. The New England Patriots organization is one of the best-run sports organizations and organizations in general in the last 15 years. And it really pains me to say that because their quarterback's from Michigan, and I really don't like Michigan or their quarterback at all. But what they have been able to do the last 15 years is incredible. Tom Brady was drafted in the 6th round of the NFL draft. Nobody thought anything of him. And he was able to become one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. Not only that, but the players that they've had on their team are usually castaways from other teams. Usually players that were drafted high and didn't meet the expectations from the team that drafted them, so they release them. Patriots gobble them up. Other times they'll sign players that have character issues. And because they're put into that organization and that system, their character issues disappear. Great example of that is Randy Moss, one of the greatest talents ever in the NFL at wide receiver. 6'4", 220 pounds of him. Could run like a deer and catch anything thrown in his way. But he had character issues. That dude could not get along with anybody. But when he joined the Patriots put him into a position to succeed. And succeed he did. I'm pretty sure he broke the NFL record for receiving touchdowns in the season. Had like 20 of them. Anything thrown to him, he caught. But he was put into a position to succeed. And the New England Patriots have been able to do that to an unbelievable level. Their first star receiver during the run that started about 15 years ago was Troy Brown. He was drafted in the 8th round of the NFL draft. For those of you that don't know NFL draft, they don't even have an 8th round anymore. It stops at 7. So nobody thought he'd amount to anything. And it was almost 10 years before he did. But they drafted him. He stayed in the system. He learned the system. He put in his time. He put in the work. He put in the effort. And he became Tom Brady's number one receiver in the early 2000s. And in an unprecedented move towards the end of his career, when he was slowing down and not as fast, he was put on the defensive side of the ball. Play cornerback, safety for the Patriots. That never happens in the NFL. Usually in the NFL, you have one position, you stay there for good, forever. But the Patriots have an organization where they can move people around where they need to. They see talent, they see strength, they move that person around. I read a stat when I was preparing for this. There's an article from 2013, so 4 years ago, so this has probably increased dramatically. But at that point in time, Tom Brady had thrown touchdown passes to 50 different players in his playing career of about 10 years. 50 different players he threw touchdown passes to. That speaks to the ability of the New England Patriots to take players and plug them into their system. It didn't matter what they had done before. It didn't matter their skill set. They were able to find players, put them into a position to succeed. An even more incredible stat of he threw touchdown passes to 50 players, but only 12 of those had caught more than 9. So he didn't throw touchdown passes to the same people very often. He threw it to everybody, all over the place, because they knew their role, they knew their position, they knew what they were supposed to do, they did it, and he found them when they were wide open. Like I said, Troy Brown was the first standout wide receiver for them. Towards the end of his career, the New England Patriots got Wes Welker, all 5'9" of him, which is incredibly small for a wide receiver in the NFL. But they found a position that he could be in, that he would succeed. He was undrafted out of college. Nobody thought anything of him. This 5'9" receiver that was good in college, went to the Miami Dolphins, and then the Patriots after that. After he got to the Patriots, he led the NFL in receiving for 3 years. They put him into a position to succeed, and succeed he did. Once Wes Welker started getting to the end of his career, they had Julian Edelman, a player that played quarterback at Kent State. Didn't even play wide receiver. He got drafted as quarterback. They thought maybe he'd play wildcat every once in a while, specific formation NFL. And he took the position of Wes Welker. He knew his role, and he succeeded in that role. And he put all of his effort into that role. And for any of you that watched the NFL playoffs this year, maybe you caught another player for the Patriots this year. His name was Chris Hogan. He set the NFL record for most receiving yards in a playoff game. This is a player that didn't go to college to play football. He went to Penn State for lacrosse. He had 1 year of eligibility left, and he went to Monmouth University. Caught a total of 12 catches in his entire college football career. But the Patriots saw something in him. They saw something in him. They brought him onto the team. They put him into the position. And he caught more yards in an NFL playoff game than anybody else in the history of the NFL. More than Randy Moss, more than Jerry Rice, more than anybody. This player that had 12 catches in college, total. But the Patriots are an organization that they know where to put their players at to succeed. A final example of that is one other player. His name is Nate Ebner. Nate Ebner didn't play high school football. He was a rugby player. He was a rugby player that went to Ohio State, and he decided as a junior at Ohio State, he'd try to walk on at the football team. Maybe he'd make it, maybe he wouldn't. He did make it, and he played special teams. So only on kickoffs, only on punts. That's the only time he ever played. And usually those players, they play in college for the glory, and then that's it. They don't play anymore. But he caught on with the New England Patriots because they found his skill set, and they found how good he was on special teams. That's all he does. You don't find that often in the NFL, special teams player. Usually it's players that are backups at other positions, but he doesn't have another position. That is all he does. They found his strength. They put him into a position to succeed. And he also played on the U.S. Olympic rugby team. The New England Patriots are this organization that they find these cast-offs, these castaways, these people, these players that are overlooked. that maybe don't have as much skill as other people at the position, that maybe have character issues, but they bring them in with open arms. They put them into position to succeed. And that's a worldly organization. How much better is God's organization at that? How many of us were maybe thought of as castaways or overlooked or didn't have the skill sets to do certain things? But God had us born at this specific time, in this specific place, for this specific reason. There's a reason we're all here. God's organization is better than the New England Patriots. God's ability to put people in position to succeed is better than anybody else or anything else. God knows where He needs us. God knows where He needs us for His work to be done. Let's flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here. You know, in the struggle of life, it's easy to allow ourselves to believe that we're not important. It's easy to allow ourselves to believe that we don't really add anything here. I don't get up and teach. I don't add anything. I don't make the communion bread. I don't get the communion out. I don't help in the school. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't really do anything. I'm not really needed. It's easy to allow ourselves to believe that. But is that how God views us? No. Everybody here is needed for a reason. Everybody here is needed for a purpose. Everybody here is just as important as everybody else. And everybody's needed for a different reason. That's the most important aspect I really want to push this morning. Is everybody is needed, but everybody's needed for a different reason. Don't put others' expectations on yourself and don't put your expectations on others. Everybody has a different skill set. And God is going to use everybody's skills how they need to be used for His work to be done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, it says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one drink. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. We are all placed here as God desires. I never desired to be up here teaching. When I first became a Christian, I did not desire that. I did not want to do that. And I had no intentions of ever doing that. But God has worked things out that I'm now up here teaching and preaching. Not by my own skill set, not by my own power, but by His. It's not to say that everybody's meant to be up here, though. That doesn't mean that anybody is less a member of the body because they are not up here. God has placed you exactly where you need to be within the body. God has placed each one of us here so that His will be done. Not that our will be done, but that His will be done. Every one of us is needed for a specific reason within that body. Continuing on here, verse 19 says, "If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again to the head, 'To the feet, I have no need of you.' On the contrary, It is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. So each one of us is a part of the body. Each one of us has a different role. Each one of us depends on the other. Not everybody's able to come here and fix things like Davey or Bob or Jeremy or Larry or Darren. Not everybody here is able to go back and run the sound. Not everybody here is able to make the communion bread. Not everybody here is able to get up and teach and preach. It doesn't make anybody any less needed than anyone else. And we all can tell when Virginia isn't here, and we don't get that hug from Virginia. We can all see that and sense that. The same with everybody else. Everybody here is needed. We can all tell when somebody is missing and somebody's not here. Either something doesn't get done or somebody doesn't get encouraged. We're all important. Every single one of us. No matter how we may think of ourselves, how little importance sometimes we put on ourselves, because that's easy to do. We're all incredibly important. We are all needed. We are all needed to contribute with the skills that God has given to us. Don't try to take somebody else's skills and put them on yourself. Because that's not how God wants you. That's not how God needs you for His kingdom. God needs you. God doesn't need you to be somebody else. Being a part of the body, it all boils down to kind of the same thing. What is the reason for teaching? What is the reason for preaching? What is the reason for song leading? What is the reason for piano playing? What is the reason for communion? What is the reason for recording it and putting it online? It's to encourage and uplift, right? To encourage and uplift the body. We get up and teach so we can help teach the body. Help the body understand more. And oftentimes the teachers learn more than the rest of the body does. What is the reason for preaching? To encourage and uplift, to help people to go out and seek and save the lost. What is the reason for playing the piano and leading songs? To make melodies. How often do you listen to a song and it just puts you in a different mood? What is the reason for communion? To remember what happened. Ultimately, the entire reason for the body, the entire reason that we meet here, is so that we can encourage and be encouraged. And every part of the body is able to do that in their own way. If we suffer and think that we're unimportant, if we think that we don't have anything to add, a great way to change that mindset, a great way to change that way of thinking, a great way to understand how important we are to the body is to find somebody to encourage within the body. Find somebody to uplift within the body. Find one specific person, go out and have coffee with them, go out and work with them, go out and be with them. I mean, when you're around somebody, you really get to know them. And when you get to know somebody, you're able to help them in ways that you weren't before. I spent over 3 years at Reynolds working with Jeremy and got to know Jeremy really well. Saw him in some very tense circumstances with coworkers and other people. Rode down to Columbus with Davey for 3-4 months. Rode down to Columbus, I'd drive down there and Davey'd drive me around in the back of the van while we would test and we'd drive back. We got to know each other really well. You get to know people when you're around them. If you want to encourage and uplift somebody, you got to know them. You got to know how to do that. Some people want a hug. Some people want to just talk and be listened to. Some people want to go out and shoot guns. Some people want to go watch Hallmark and sappy shows. You just never know. And you're not going to know unless you're around them and with them. If you want to be a part of the body, if you want to be more a part of the body, find somebody to help. Find somebody to be with. Don't just come here to be uplifted, but come here to help uplift others. Find people to give hugs to. Find people to build relationships with. Because that's ultimately why we come here, to encourage each other. Because we all spend all week out in the world around people that are not Christians, around people that say things that shouldn't be said. We have somebody that works for us from Serbia, and it's always a game of how many F-bombs is he going to drop in this conversation. And when we were at a meeting in Dallas, I think 2 years ago, we got up to 70 within 2 hours and lost count. We're all in positions like that, with people like that. Maybe not that extreme, but we desperately need each other, each and every one of us, so we can be encouraged, so we can be uplifted, so we can be a part of the body. If you cut a part of the body off, if you cut yourself off from the body, you're going to die. You cut your finger off physically, it dies. We need to be a part of the body in our own way. Flip over to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, 12 and 13. It says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. When we all become Christians, we all have the same process through it. We rise up out of the water in newness of life as a babe in Christ. What do babies need? Many of us here have had babies, some of us have not. But when you have a child, you realize how much they need. How often you need to help them, to feed them, to change their diapers, to soothe them when they wake up in the middle of the night with growing pains and rub their legs. We are all babes in Christ when we first become Christians. We all are babes in Christ and need older Christians to help us. The older men, the older women, to help be there for us. We need more encouragement. We need more upliftment. We need the milk of the word before we can get to the meat. So we all come into Christ as young babes in Christ. And then we grow to be young men and young women in Christ. When we grow to be young men and young women in Christ, we're able to stand on our own. We're able to provide. We're able to read and understand and comprehend, and we don't need somebody to necessarily hold our hand the entire time. We still need people to lean on because we're young in the faith. We still need people to help guide us when maybe we get a little off track. We've all been there, and 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, we know what it's like to be a young man and a young woman trying to find your way in this world. Trying to find what you're supposed to do for the rest of your life. Trying to figure out what is really right and what is really wrong. We think we know everything, but we really don't. And we need those gentle nudges to get back on track. And then after we progress to a young man and young woman, we then progress to a father and a mother, an older man, an older woman in Christ. Somebody that does not need to be coddled anymore at all. Somebody that does not necessarily need to be redirected in certain certain areas of their life. Somebody that is able to completely stand on their own and completely help others and help those young babes in Christ. We all naturally progress through that, but we all progress through that at a different rate. And that's okay. It's okay that somebody may become a Christian and may be on fire for Christ and may start teaching and preaching really quickly and getting up front and being on fire for Christ. That's awesome. That's great. Nobody grows at the same time frame. Nobody has the same time frame in their growth. Some people are going to grow slower, and that's okay. That just means that us that are older, that have been in the faith longer, need to be there for them longer, need to be there for them more. And encourage them to find their way, encourage them to find their strengths, encourage them to find their place in the body that they can succeed. When you put somebody in a position that they are not ready for, they're not going to succeed. It's a fine line between getting out of the comfort zone and using your skill set for Christ. If the New England Patriots would have put Nate Ebner, who's their special teams person, at wide receiver, he wouldn't have succeeded. He would have been out of the NFL doing something else. But they used their scouting ability, they used their brains, and they put him in a position to succeed, which is what God is going to do for us. What did the scripture say? God puts you in the kingdom where he desires you. He puts the part of the body where they are needed. It is up to us to realize that where we are put in the body may not be where we thought we would be in the body. But to go with it, and to continue to go with it. Know that God may see our skill set a little bit differently than we see our own skill set. And have faith in God that we are put exactly where we need to be to succeed, not for us, but to succeed for him. Staying in 1 John here, let's flip over to chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. First John 4, starting in verse 7, says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he sent he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Simple phrase, sometimes hard to do. Sometimes hard to do because of feelings, because of thoughts, because of assumptions. But it's important to remember that everybody is in a different stage of their walk in Christ. And it's important to remember that everybody is going to walk at a different speed and a different pace. And that's okay. As long as they finish the race, that's all that really matters. When I ran cross country in high school, you'd have the varsity race where the top seven runners of every school would run that race, and then the JV race where everybody else would run. When I was a freshman and sophomore, I ran JV, and I was terrible because I didn't care. I just joined the team to go to Florida, and I didn't try and practice, and I was towards the back of the pack. As I got hooked on running, I started running harder, started running more, I'd run about 200 miles every summer to get in shape. One thing that never changed from the time I was at the back of the pack to the time I was at the front of the pack, is everybody would stay there and cheer until the last person finished the race. Oftentimes, if you go to cross-country meets, you'll see runners that are really, really good. And then you'll see people that aren't so good, but they're trying just as hard. They don't have that skill set, and it may take them twice as long to finish, but they finish that race. And to see the look of accomplishment on their faces because they finished the race is amazing. And guess what? It's the same way with the Christian walk. Some of us are going to be able to get to that finish line a little bit faster than others in our growth process. Some of us are going to be a little bit slower. That's okay. As long as we keep going in that race, that's all that really matters. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. As long as you're moving forward, you're moving. You're moving towards the finish line. And this morning, I just want to encourage everybody to find their place within the body. Find your place within the body and excel at it. Be all that you can be at it. Do all that you can do at it. It's not going to be the same for everybody. And that's how it's supposed to be. We're not all meant to be the same. We're not all meant to do the same thing. God needs us to be us in His kingdom. God needs the encouragers and the huggers. God needs the people that can sit down and have genuine conversations. God needs people that can teach. God needs people that can preach. God needs us to be us in His kingdom. Find your skill set in the body. Be diligent to figure out what it is. And if you're not sure what it is, just start with one person. Start encouraging them, uplift them, spend time with each other. Figure out likes and dislikes. Figure out how to encourage people. Figure out how to build those relationships. Because if we all finish that race, we're going to be in eternity together. It'd be nice to know who you're going to be in eternity with, right? Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. We thank you for the skills that you've given to us. We ask that you be with us. Help us to find our place in the body. Help us to understand that we're all each individuals. We'll all each have our different skill set. And help us to see where you need us. Help us to break out of our comfort zones where needed. And help us to be an encouragement and upliftment to others. That we help others find their place in the body, Lord. We know how important it is to be a part of the body. We know how important it is to be successful for you. To help push the body forward in all that we do, Lord. We just love you and we thank you for everything. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.